With three teams looking to dominate this season and one being outstanding, is the BTCC in crisis?
Crikey, Sam, that sounds like you were on news night. That's fantastic. Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much, Jeremy Paxman. There's been a lot of talk on social media this year about how boring the touring cars have been, how predictable it's been. And I think that's sort of been a bit of a foil because how the F1 has been as well. Generally, we've been able to go, well, F1's boring, domination is boring, but come to the touring cars, it's really exciting. Yeah. And this year, we've had a very similar situation in the touring cars to what we have in the F1. That is to say, one team is absolutely dominating in Napa Racing, who have taken every pole of the season so far. Sutton has all but won the championship with two full rounds remaining. I can't remember the last time that happened. It must have done, but I can't remember the last time it happened. So, with all of this said, is the touring cars in a bit of a crisis period? And I think it actually is. I know I'm one of those people that is a bit hyperbole and gets a little bit excited, but I do think it's in crisis. Sam, do you have any initial thoughts before I sort of take over and go on a mini rant?
Well, as you said, yeah, there has been one team that looks like it's been significantly better, had the making of all the setups this season, and there will be arguments to go, but it's only Sutton up there, out of the team, which, yeah, is fair. We know he's one of the better, if not the best driver on the grid. There's a reason that he is currently a three-time touring car champion and will most likely be moving on to being a four-time champion. But there are other champions on the grid, and this year has been a year where competition certainly hasn't been rife. There have been good battles throughout the mid-pack, certainly. But at the top of the sport, there have been maybe three different cars, but only sort of like four cars out of those, eight, 12 even, in those teams that have actually been there pretty much every single weekend, taking wins, looking to take pole positions, and competing for podium places. So I can completely understand the point of view that you're coming from, and that's why we've raised this question in this podcast.
I think the biggest problem for me is field spread. Now, there's always been teams that dominate a sport. It's the same in any sport you look at, whether it be football, rugby, snooker, whatever sport you look at, there is a pool of players or teams that are above everybody else. It's just the way it works. I think the problem with this year has been you've given one of the best drivers, if not the best driver on the grid, we'll save that debate for another day, the best car on the grid, and it's just worked in pure synergy. Those two, Sutton and that car, are way ahead of everybody else. I think the concerning thing is, A, how far ahead he's been of everybody else. There's been races where he's won it. Well, he's been in, as we joked with the podcast, he's been in the next postcode by the next race. You know, we haven't seen that, not really since the BMW days of it, when the BMW first sort of came back to the sport. And obviously, back at the time, we gave BMW a lot of stick, particularly during the Jordan Turkington Oliphant era. We gave them a lot of stick for the fact they were dominating the sport. I think the other problem you've got is that there's only really, in my opinion, one other top quality driver on the grid. Now, we've had it in the past where there's been a whole dearth of brilliance on the grid. That's not to do down the guys below, but we've had on the grid before multiple champions at multiple times. We've obviously this year we've lost the likes of Team Dynamics, who have bought obviously champions over the last 15, 20 years. I don't think Colin Turkington is at his peak. I don't think that's particularly controversial. I think he's on his way down. Nope. You've got Tom Ingram, who I think is the only driver that is consistently able to challenge Sutton and is the only other elite driver on the grid. And then you've got several good ones that aren't quite at that level. And I think this is the first time I can remember where you've got that disparity of having only two of the best and then having several good ones underneath. And I think another problem with all of that is cost. We've seen how many struggles there have been at particularly Team Hard. And this is not a chance just to kick Team Hard, but at the end of the day, sponsorship is a massive problem. The cost of touring cars is very expensive indeed. And we're not seeing, in my opinion, enough of the new breed coming through. We're still seeing a lot of the older drivers almost hanging on. I mean, Plato is an example from the last couple of years. They've earned the right. If they want to stay on the grid, that's up to them, absolutely. But I would personally rather see a new era of touring car drivers come through, that I would see Nick Halstead on the grid, where he's not going to be competitive. Again, that slightly sounds harsh, but you look back to what we had before with the Clios and the Ginettas, and there was a very clear pathway up to touring cars. That pathway is completely gone now because money is the massive barrier. It's hard enough to get on at a junior level now. We've spoken to drivers in the junior and feeder series, and they're struggling to get onto those grids. And that's just blocking the talent progression coming through. And we're now seeing that, yes, we've got quite a few of the same names. We're not seeing too many rookies come through. This season, there's been a couple, admittedly. But we're not seeing that pathway anymore. And I think that is a problem. And you're then seeing it on the grid that money is such an important factor to keeping the cars on the grid for the whole season. I think it's meaning that we're getting less racing, because I think that teams and drivers are less happy to take a risk of a car than they used to be, because the bill is so high and you risk coming off the grid if you get it wrong.
Yeah, I think it's getting more and more significant, the money aspect of things, especially with the world that we're living in at the moment. Prices rising all over the place, not just for the drivers trying to get onto the grid and trying to gain that sponsorship and trying to raise the money themselves. It's also the team's costs are going up just to go to a weekend, the fuel to take all the trucks there, the cost to start renting the garages out. There are so many costs behind the scenes that we may not even see or not even consider, that there are something that every team has to take into account, and it has to be budgeted into either the team or the driver who's in that car, which is why we've seen more and more struggles, certainly over the last season or two, of drivers having to drop out because of financial issues. The prime example was when Dan Lloyd had that massive accident at Alton Park with Turkington. Turkington was able to be back out on the track for the next round, yes, albeit in a different chassis car.
That's the point, in a nutshell, isn't it? That's the point. That's exactly. The disparity of resources, isn't it?
But because he was with Hyundai and Bristol Street Motors, they were able to get him back out and there, but he really struggled. And it was only because of Bristol Street Motors stepping in and some other sponsors stepping in that he actually had the money to finish off that season. It has then really hampered him going into this season because of the budget that he had to throw into there and almost make back at the end of the season has then affected him this season. And for a driver of his quality, of his standard, he's a multiple race winner. We should be seeing him as a driver competing much further towards the front of the grid, in my opinion, than him struggling to get on the grid and stay on the grid for a whole season in a car that isn't having the money spent on it, because Team Hard don't necessarily have all the resources and the funds just to throw at a team, at a car, at a driver.
I agree. And I think the other problem there as well is that Team Hard is only, what, one of three that are not manufactured on the grid now. And you'd say that even with that in mind, I would argue that PMR and One Motorsport have better resources than Hard do. And Hard have made their own bed difficult because they've decided to run six cars this year. So they've made it difficult for themselves in some ways. It's good to have so many manufacturers on the grid, but even then, I think there's quite a big disparity between those. I don't think Speedworks, Toyota, for example, are spending anywhere near as much as Napa are. It's not a criticism of Napa. There's no cost cap at the moment I'm aware of in the sport, so you can spend what you want to spend. I'm not necessarily a fan of cost caps, particularly not in a sport like the touring cars, which, whilst it is the pinnacle of tin top racing for now, TCR is making quite a bold effort to take that crown, and I'm slightly worried about whether that will happen or not, actually, because I think TCR have got quite a few intricacies and kind of new ideas that are really quite interesting that and touring cars doesn't seem to want to develop. I think that's a problem. We've seen that they're very slow to develop the touring cars in terms of changing fan needs or fan wants and stuff like that. But yeah, it's, I don't want to see a cost cap introduced because I don't want to push manufacturers elsewhere, because they'll go elsewhere. Let's be honest. If you can't spend to be competitive here, then why would you bother? I get it. I think that's my other point, really. Sort of made there from the TCR point, is that touring cars haven't really adapted the rules haven't changed particularly in the last 10, 15 years that I've been watching in terms of race setup, weekend setup, all that kind of stuff. All we've seen is a change of regulations just happen regularly. That's not happened that, you know, had any great effect one way or another. And the loss of ballast replaced by hybrid. And I don't want to go over the hybrid stuff again, but you know my views on it. Insert the meme here. It doesn't work. It's not working for racing. And ballast, I don't like, but it worked and it made the field more competitive.
Yeah, you mentioned TCR there, and the money aspect of TCR is a very interesting one compared to the British touring cars. There is definitely a lot more money floating about in the touring cars, but that's because the series has been going for far longer and there are, as you say, far more manufacturers and well-known drivers in it. So there's always going to be more money bandied about. But TCR is in its fairly early stages of development and is showing some of the signs that we saw in the early days of British touring cars in offering certain prize money for qualifying on pole or taking fastest laps and stuff like that. So I can see why they're going down that route and the incentives that are there, but it could lead to becoming an unsustainable way of being run, because the money's got to come from somewhere, whether it's coming from ticket prices of fans, whether it's coming from sponsorship deals, whether it's coming from TV money. There are many different aspects that have to be considered. And if you're going to have a series like that trying to compete with touring cars as well, in my mind, they kind of need to try to work together, which I know from the fractious remains of the arguments there have been, it probably won't happen. But if we want to build a up-to-date, modern, tin-top UK series at the top echelon, then we're probably going to need to see a combination of the ideas from TCR, but also those big name drivers, big name brands from the touring cars. And I think there's got to be development both ways.
I think that's another reason why I would say the touring cars is in a bit of crisis, because this is the first time I can remember in my time watching the touring cars that it's had a potentially serious challenger to being the top series in the UK for this kind of thing. The only one before was we lost a couple of drivers to the World Touring Cars in the past, which is potentially a step up on touring cars anyway, because it's got that worldwide element. It's got that higher prestige. But here, TCR has sort of come out of nowhere, and it's really starting. You know, if you look at it, you know, they're taking Paul O'Neill on as a pundit. Yep. That's quite a big move, quite a bold move. You mentioned the prize money. I think that once they get their coverage sorted out, it'd be better. YouTube is their way forward at the minute, which means you don't have to watch somebody getting a free pen for signing up to AXA Sun Life or, you know, sponsoring a donkey or any of that every single 5 minutes. I get that adverts pay the way, but I think that's really frustrating me at touring cars. I mean, you're watching on ITV, it's almost becoming unwatchable because every 5 minutes there's a break, and it's getting to the point you're seeing the same advert 50 times a day. You don't have that at the TCRs.
Would you rather that or be behind a paywall on something like Sky? Because there are people out there and families out there that would be restricted if it would go behind a paywall by something like that.
I agree. And I'm not, on the one hand, I wouldn't mind it going behind a paywall if it meant that somebody like Sky was going to chuck serious money at it and make it better. But on the flip side of that, this is ITV's flagship racing program, and I don't understand why it's not improving. Again, I said the race format has stayed the same. The ITV format has stayed the same. There's no difference now than what I was watching 10 years ago. It's exactly the same. And to me, that's the biggest flaw of the touring cars and why I think it's sleepwalking into this crisis, is that nothing is changing. And I think that they're struggling to get a younger audience in because they're completely ignoring stuff like TikTok, social media, all that kind of stuff. Whether you like it or not, that's what the young people are on. That's what, you know, we're on YouTube. There's very little to no presence of touring cars on these kind of platforms. It's relying on, you know, a fan base that's already there rather than growing it.
It also seems to be very much down to the teams on social media to grow their own coverage as well. So we've seen Bristol Street Motors with Hyundai and also Team Hard be very prominent with the stuff that they do on YouTube, on social media, on TikTok and stuff like that. But you don't see teams like BMW doing it. You don't see Speedworks doing it. You don't see One Motorsport doing it. And I really think that it's a good point that those teams need to get out there to build the coverage, to build the viewership, to bring in that younger audience. If you're going to bring in a younger audience, then you're going to be in people who are more enthused about it, more wanting to make that change. And I think if they see those sort of results, then I think they'd be more willing to do something more radical.
Yeah, I think, you know, if it's getting boring on the track and it's boring off the track, then you're going to lose audience members. I think why F1 has done so well is that whilst it has been incredibly boring, 2021 aside, and I'm talking for the last 10 years in F1 as well, because it's been Mercedes dominance, 1 year of actual fighting, and then Red Bull dominance. Apart from, I think, 2017, there's a mini battle between Ferrari and Mercedes for a while, but it kept its interest because they have really good off the track coverage. You've got Ted Kravitz, who is an absolute lunatic, but people watch him because he's very watchable. You've got really good in-depth knowledgeable presenters who break down things on the SkyPad and they take you through various bits and pieces. We don't ever get a replay on the touring. When they're in the office talking talking between Tim, Steve and Paul, we very rarely see a replay. They just talk about what they've just seen. Do you know what I mean? Whereas at least with F1, they've got Caroon by the thing, taking you through why this has happened and all that kind of thing. They're zooming into the cameras. And it's a joke, as I said to you before and on this podcast before, it's a joke that every weekend only 4 cars have the camera. That's madness. That is absolute madness. And I think it's stuff like that that is really threatening the off-field stuff becoming boring. And if it's boring on track and boring off track, and that's no disrespect to any of the pundits involved, they're all very good. It's just that there's only so long you can look at Steve Ryder, Tim Harvey and Paul O'Neill sat on bar stools with a very bland office sort of background with them, and you can't keep that exciting.
I'm not sure whether it's to its detriment or not, but having the other races shown on ITV is completely beneficial for the drivers that are in those races, trying to get the coverage that they need to get to show off their skills, to build up the sponsorship that they can get to then move up through the levels of motorsport. That is brilliant. We don't see enough of that with lower echelons of motorsport on places like Sky or Eurosport or wherever. So all credit to that. But does it take away something from the actual touring car races themselves? Quite possibly. As you say, if they have that sort of analysis in there, then you may be able to work it in alongside, have more driver interviews and almost get to know their personalities a bit better as well.
There's no reason that can't be delivered later on in the week as like a Ted Kravitz notebook or something like that. You know, Ted spends days at the track, if it feels, after just walking up and down the pit lane, interviewing ladybirds and God, you know, Lord knows what else. But do you know what? I watch it because it's, you know, it's quite interesting. You know? Yeah. Anyway, that's off the field. On the track, you've not really had much chance to say what your feelings on the track are because I've been sort of ranting and raving away like a lunatic. So what are your thoughts on the track? Is it a crisis season, or is it just one of those where everything's fallen into place for one driver and one team, and it just is what it is? It happens sometimes.
I think it could be a combination of both. It's almost a perfect storm, really, in the fact that Napa signed up Kamish and Sutton on a 2-year contract at the start of last season, and they almost knew the direction that they wanted to go in. They knew what they wanted to do, what they wanted to achieve, and how they wanted to achieve it as well. And this year, Sutton has got what looks like the perfect car. The qualifying performances are outstanding, no matter whether it's him, Kamish, or Rowbottom. All of them have taken poles this year. The fact that only 2 teams this year are running a Toker engine, I think, is having a big influence. The fact that teams are able to build their own engines within the parameters set by the governing body, the rules, the regulations, they've taken them to the extremes, and they can afford to run them on test rigs for 1,000 hours or whatever they need to do in these bigger teams to get those minimal gains that take them to the top of the field. So, yes, I think money helps along that route. It always does. There's almost a glass ceiling when it comes to that. You get to a point and you can still go more and more and more. but teams down the back end of the field, like Hard, like PMR, will always be struggling a little bit more because of the amount of sponsorship that they have to bring in. They have to be really careful with where that money's going, what the money's going on. I mean, prime example this season, we've seen drivers in Team Hard and also PMR not being able to run new tyres each weekend because of the costs that it's going to be across the whole season. Even if we brought in a restriction to that, saying we had, I don't know, for example, 60 sets of tyres for the whole season for a car, so you get two sets of new tyres each weekend and that's it. And then those drivers have to choose when to use them, how to use them, and stuff like that. It may bring in a more tactical element as well, which can build the excitement, but it could also keep that cost to a minimum. So I think there are many different ways that the racing can be made better. I also think there are many different ways that the competition between teams and drivers can be made closer. However, I think this season might just be that perfect storm of Sutton being in the best car, being the best driver on the grid, and being more consistent than everyone else.
I agree. I think that my final thoughts are that I don't think we're in crisis yet. I think that it's a one-off season to a degree, where, it's, as you say, everything's come together for us Sutton in such a way that it's perfect for him. I do worry about the overall strength of the grid, but we'll have to see how that goes going forward. And my major concern is that the sport is sleepwalking a little bit into a decline because of a lack of willingness to change or spice things up. And also because I think TCR is rumbling. It's not going away. I think everyone's kind of thought last year, it's flash in the pan. It'll be, you know, no one will be talking about this time next year. Well, people are, and it's not going away. When we went earlier in the year, it was really good. There's a long way for it to go. Don't get me wrong. There's a hell of a long way for it to go. But it felt good when we were there. It did feel, you know, kind of stripped back and a bit more what racing's about rather than the politics and the commercialization that touring cars suffers from, which they will do because it's top series and top series always do. But yeah, I think on the track, I think you just got to this year tip your caps to what Napa have done, what Sutton has done, and then see what happens next year. If we see the same sort of thing next year, and then I think we are in problematic territories.
That's what I was going to say as well. If we see this dominance start to form like we have done in F1, then I think there's got to be a real look at maybe regulation changes and bringing in more parameters to ensure that there's an increased competition between teams and drivers. I may even be happier seeing a 22, a 24 car grid rather than a 30, 32 car grid, where we're going to get the best drivers in the best cars having the best opportunity to score points, score podiums and win races throughout the whole field rather than having a Touring Cars 1.0 and a Touring Cars 2.0.
Yeah, I think I agree with you, and I think we need to go back. My last point is we need to go back to the funding, the scholarship routes and stuff like that, because
big time.
I'm not picking on any particular driver here, but I don't think it's right that if you've got the amount of money, you can just buy your way onto the grid. And I know everyone on that grid has to bring their own sponsorship. I get that. But there are drivers that have been on the grid now and in the past that are there because they can afford to be there rather than on talent and on merit. And that is a problem that is seeping in, not just to this sport. We've seen it in F1. Again, not going to name names because that would be a bit mean, but we've seen it in F1 where if you've got the money, you can get into a team. And that is a unfortunate trend that's creeping into the sport, and that, for me, needs to be stopped because talent should always come above money in these kind of things.
Yeah, I think there's a YouTuber that I watch that says hard work beats talent, not money beats talent.
Yeah.
Yeah, people that work hard and people that have got the talent really do deserve to make it. We understand by speaking to young drivers that behind the scenes there's a hell of a lot that they have to do to even try and gain the sponsorship to get on the support packages, let alone the full touring car grid. So if we can have those scholarship schemes in place, like Team Hard do, to bring drivers through, get them the experience that they need, get them almost a leg up on talking to big companies that can see their potential, that would be a massive game for the championship. And having more young drivers in there will probably bring a younger crowd as well.
Well, there's a simple rule change right there. It just occurred to me. If you're a manufacturer team in the sport, or any team in the sport, you have to contribute a certain amount of funds to a scholarship program. It's that simple.
Or you have to have your own scholarship program.
Yeah, that's fine.
You have to have a driver in a lower formula or a lower tin top series to compete.
Which, to be fair to Napa and both...
Go on.
Sorry, I was going to say, to be fair to Napa and both Accelerate, they do that. I'm surprised that we haven't seen it from WSR, though we never have, that I'm aware of. But I think that should be a stipulation that if you're in the sport for you need to be contributing in some way to the next generation.
I think one of the things going forward for next season in F1, that the F1 Academy, which is the women's side or the full women's race, next year 12 of the 15 teams have to be backed by F1 teams to have a female driver in there, which is something that I think we should do in the touring cars as well. Doesn't have to be female drivers, it could be drivers under the age of 22 or something like that, to bring them through.
Completely agree. Right, well, that's it went on for more than 10 minutes, but never mind, it's a big subject. Is the touring cars in crisis? Why don't you let us know? Maybe we're completely off the mark, maybe we've missed something that means we're in crisis or means we're not in crisis. This is a debate. It's a big talking point on social media at the minute. There are lots of sides to the story, so your opinion absolutely matters. Get in contact either down below or online or wherever you want to do it. But if you could, of course, like this video, subscribe to the YouTube stuff. If you listen to us on a podcast platform even, blimey, that's difficult if you're not with your teeth in. If you listen to us on a podcast platform, please do leave us a 5-star review or a 4. Ideally not a 3 or 2 or 1. We prefer 4 or above where possible because it helps us move up the algorithms that iTunes and Spotify set us. Sam, do you have any final thoughts?
Yeah, we'd love to hear and see and read the discussions in the comments. Please keep them civil as well. We like the constructiveness of having a discussion on this level because they all happen out there on different social media platforms, so we'd love to hear your views. But we will be back once again before Silverstone, which we may or may not be going to in some form, and we're very excited coming into penultimate round of the season.
Well, Ash Sutton will win it in Tausa, but there we go. Until then, until the Silverstone preview, thanks very much for listening, and bye bye for now.